Hello, Symphony Church, and Happy New Year. I'm so glad that you're choosing to spend time on the first day of 2024 in the Word of God. And I hope that this year can be a year of great growth, you know, greater intimacy with Jesus as you go deeper into Scripture, as well as, of course, many other areas like corporate worship, prayer, and so on and so forth. But so glad that you're starting off this year in the Word. Today's chapter is Revelation chapter 3. You know, if you haven't listened to the Devos from last week, if you're joining in maybe for the first time, you might want to consider going back, listening to reading the passages in Revelations 1 and 2 first, just so that you get the full context of today's passage. But so if you haven't listened to it, if you haven't read it, strongly suggest that you do that first right now. But to give a little bit of background on what we're reading today, Jesus has been addressing seven churches located in various parts of Asia Minor, which is the region in between what we know today as Europe and Asia. In the previous chapter, he addressed the churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, and Thyatira. And today, he's going to address the remaining three of seven. So with that as a very simple background, let me read Revelation chapter 3. "And the angel of the church in Sardis, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen. As we just read, Jesus addresses these three churches, the church in Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And as he addresses each of these churches, Jesus starts off the same. He says, I know your works. He knows what they've been like as a church, both on the outside and on the inside. And he's pointing out what he sees. And in a minute, I'm going to briefly unpack what Jesus says to each of these churches. But I want to point something out first. Jesus has been calling out these different churches for the ways in which they have gone astray or done wrong. If you didn't catch that, now you know. We saw that in chapter 2 as well with the churches there. But we have to recognize, what we have to recognize is that all of this is done with the desire and intent of pointing them back to righteousness. Jesus here isn't simply pointing out their wrongdoing or shortcomings and then leaving them out to dry. In each situation, he calls them out and then urges them to take steps back towards him, to a life honoring to God, and ultimately a life that will lead to true, everlasting life. Some of us might be a little bit taken aback by what Jesus says and how he says it. Maybe we're not used to someone being so direct, especially when pointing out negative things. Or maybe we're just not used to Jesus doing this. We see him as one who is gentle and loving and kind. And he is all of those things. But in fact, he's doing all of this in love. His ultimate desire is for all to conquer. You may have noticed that he says that for each of the churches, that to conquer. And what that means is to overcome, to withstand the temptations and the trials and the suffering, all so that they might experience fullness of life in God in the age to come. That's Jesus' hope. He's not just pointing out wrongdoing. He's not just calling them out for the things they didn't do well. His hope is that the churches will overcome. So as we take a look at what he says about each church, I want to urge you to hear Jesus' words with this understanding that this is all done in love. All right, so first, let's look at the church in Sardis. Jesus points out that the Christians there have the reputation of being alive, but in reality are dead. It seems that this church over time had become known as a vibrant, healthy church. Maybe they were growing very quickly in numbers, or maybe they had leaders who seemed impressive to the human eye. Whatever it is, they appeared alive to those around them, but Jesus knows what's really going on. He calls them out for being dead. With this, Jesus commends them to wake up and to strengthen what remains. How? Verse 3 says, "Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent." Jesus is essentially saying, remember the good news, the message of joy and peace and eternal life that you have received. Remember that, hold tightly to it. And as you do so, turn from your current ways and turn towards God once again. Like the Christians in Sardis, it's possible for us to look the part of a quote-unquote good Christian but without actually being so. We can do and say a bunch of the quote-unquote right things, but not actually be spiritually alive and well. And we see that Jesus' remedy for this is to return to the basics of the gospel. You see, the way we become spiritually revived isn't by immediately jumping into doing or not doing certain things, but rather it needs to begin with remembering why we do or don't do those things. We need the good news. We need to remember and know the good news that we were once dead, but by the grace of God, have been made alive in Christ. And we need to allow that to resuscitate our hearts. To be clear, doing things is important. Faith without works is dead, as James says in his letter. But we need to make sure to always have the message of Jesus at the core of our lives. Otherwise, we'll be spiritually dead. So after the church of Sardis, Jesus addresses the church in Philadelphia, and what's actually kind of a refreshing change of pace, he actually doesn't have any issues to point out here. Like the other churches, Jesus begins by saying, "I know your works," but then after that, he says, "Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Basically, the church in Philadelphia has been faithful. They've kept the word of Jesus and have endured patiently. And for that, Jesus promises a reward. They'll be kept from the hour of trial that is coming, as we see in verse 10. It's not exactly clear what this trial is referring to, but what is clear is that the church in Philadelphia isn't going to be completely free of challenges. It's not like they've already crossed the finish line and all they have to do is wait things out. No, instead, Jesus actually urges them to continue to hold fast, to remain faithful, so that no one may seize their crown. In other words, Jesus is saying that, yes, they've been good, they've been faithful, but opposition is still there. So therefore, continue, keep steadfast, for all who do will have a place in the New Jerusalem. We're going to read a lot more about the New Jerusalem near the end of the book of Revelation, but in short, Jesus is referring to the life eternal with God that will one day come and is for all those who remain faithful to God. So it's not just for the church in Philadelphia, it's for all believers who remain faithful. The New Jerusalem is for them. And so Jesus urges the church in Philadelphia, as well as us today, to hold fast until that day comes. Third and finally for today, we have the last church, the church in Laodicea. To this church, Jesus calls them out for being neither hot nor cold, for being lukewarm. Now, you might be wondering, what's the problem here and what's with this metaphor? Historians point out that north of Laodicea was a city known for its healthy hot springs, while to the south, there was another city known for its cold springs that were clean and good to drink from. Meanwhile, Laodicea, which received its water from that southern city, only had lukewarm water. Now, that might not seem problematic for us today. Maybe you're fine with room temperature water, but back then, before filtration systems and purified water, lukewarm water, which was transported from city to city, was likely to become contaminated, a kind of a petri dish of bacteria, making it undrinkable due to the risk of making one sick. It was water that if you drank it, you'd spit it out, similar to how Jesus says that he will spit out the Laodicean church, metaphorically speaking. From this, we can learn that a lukewarm church is not a healthy church. And in the case of the Laodiceans, we see their health, they're unhealthy, that they're lukewarm because they had become more dependent on the wealth that they had amassed than on God. They were still a church in that they probably still met together and did other things that churches do, but instead of trusting in God, they trusted in their possessions. They had become apathetic due to their affluence. They thought highly of themselves because of their status. You know, they basically said that they don't need God. But look at what Jesus says about them. Though they had a high view of themselves, they're actually wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. What does Jesus urge them to do instead? He calls them to buy gold from him, meaning turn to him and invest into him, the one in whom they can find true, real, and lasting treasures. These treasures, of course, aren't literal, physical treasures, but as we've been talking about, it's eternal life with the Father. Basically saying, turn away from the things that have no real value because they won't last, and instead, go to and receive from the one who gives eternal rewards. Symphony Church, as we start off 2024, let's pray that we as a church and every person in it will remain faithful to Christ. If we've been like the church in Sardis, acting the part but not actually spiritually alive, or depending more on other things than on God, let's choose today to repent, to turn from those things. And instead, let's choose today and each day to remain faithful to God, holding on to his word and the message we have received. Amen. Let me pray to wrap us up. Father, we thank you for this new year. And more than that, we thank you for the good news that we have received, that we can have life with you. Lord, we repent of any of the ways that we have been talking the talk, you know, looking the part, but not actually faithfully following you. We also repent of anything that we've been depending on more than you. Help us instead to be faithful to you, to hold tightly to you, to the gospel message, to live faithfully for you, God. Thank you, Lord, that just as you love the early churches here, and just as you pointed these things out for the sake of correction, Lord, we thank you that you do the same for us, that when we fall into these ways that you don't cut us off and just forget us, but you want us to return to you. So again, Lord, help us to do that each day, to come to you, turn to you, and walk faithfully with you, Lord. Thank you for this time in your word today. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.